And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I'll tell you, not a good day, as far as I'm concerned, for our country, because the leftists have gone stark, raving mad, and they've now taken it to the floor of the Congress with articles of impeachment that are about to pass that have absolutely no basis whatsoever in fact. So, hate to have to say that right off the bat, folks, but impeachment fever has taken control of the Democrat leftist cult. And it is a sad thing to witness. I'm your host here on The Awakening, and that's what we're trying to do, folks. Wake people up to what is really going on in our country. This stuff, here again, we're not talking about normal political debates and differences. We are talking about a group of people who have embraced a set of values that are completely contrary to everything that our Constitution, our Judeo-Christian value system, our love of liberty stands for. All of that is out the window as far as these folks are concerned. They're going in an entirely different direction. And make no mistake about it, folks, this is nothing less than an attempt to overthrow the president of the United States. So they're not going to get that done because the Senate's not going to allow that. Thank God. But what they really were hoping to do was so besmirch and slander and scandalize the president of the United States that he could not continue in office, or that people would not want him to continue in office. And remember, folks, we are now less than a year away from the election. And, you know, wouldn't it be up to the American people to decide anyway, after President Trump has served 3 years? Wouldn't it be up to the American people? Shouldn't it be up to the American people to decide whether the president should continue in office, not the pinheads of the left in Congress? I mean, it just makes sense. We're now, what? This is the end of December. Well, we're now only 10 months away. Less than 10 months away from the election. Less than 10 months. But they just won't let it rest. They won't leave it. They don't trust the American people. They don't like the American people. They don't believe in the American people. They don't believe in our system of government. They believe that they know everything, and that once they say the facts are not in dispute, which is a bold-faced, palpable, contemptible lie, the facts are not in dispute. Oh, they're right. The facts are not in dispute. The president's done nothing wrong. That's not in dispute. But they're going to take I'm going to read you a little portion of his letter to sort of set the stage here. And then there are a couple of things I really want to get to that have really jumped out at me that are really quite ironic in this whole process. Something I hadn't thought about before that I want to bring to your attention and have you reflect on it as well. But here's what the president says in his infamous letter to Nancy Pelosi. He says, I write to express my strongest and most powerful protest against the partisan impeachment crusade being pursued by the Democrats in the House of Representatives. This impeachment represents an unprecedented and unconstitutional abuse of power by Democrat lawmakers, unequaled in nearly 2.5 centuries of American legislative history. The articles of impeachment introduced by the House Judiciary Committee are not recognizable under any standard of constitutional theory, interpretation, or jurisprudence. They include no crimes, no misdemeanors, and no offenses whatsoever. You have cheapened the importance of the very ugly word impeachment. By proceeding with your invalid impeachment, you are violating your oaths of office. You are breaking your allegiance to the Constitution, and you are declaring open war on American democracy. You dare to invoke the Founding Fathers in pursuit of this election nullification scheme, yet your spiteful actions display unfettered contempt for America's founding, and your egregious conduct threatens to destroy that which our founders pledged their very lives to build. Wow. And finally, he says, well, this is not finally, because the letter goes on seven pages in terms of what I'm going to read. He says, your first claim, abuse of power, is completely disingenuous, meritless, and baseless, and an invention of your imagination. You know that I had a totally innocent conversation with the president of Ukraine. I then had a second conversation that has been misquoted, mischaracterized, and fraudulently misrepresented. Fortunately, there was a transcript of the conversation taken, and you know from the transcript, which was immediately made available, that the paragraph in question was perfect. I said to President Zelensky, quote, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. He says, a close quote, I said, do us a favor, not me, and our country, not a campaign. I then mentioned the Attorney General of the United States. Every time I talk with a foreign leader, I put America's interests first, just as I did with President Zelensky. And the letter goes on from there, folks. But I have to say, those first few paragraphs, President Trump nails it. Now, let me go back. Listen, I've got time to get into this first. Oh, you know what? I said there's something I really want to talk to you about that I hadn't thought about before. Before I get to that, though, I've been doing more research on Ukraine. And folks, here again, I'm sure you all are well informed, so you probably know this already. Ukraine, of all the nations in the world, is among the very most corrupt nations on earth. It is at the bottom of the barrel. I think, 148 nations now, I think is the number. Don't quote me on that. That's the best of my recollection, but it's somewhere in that vicinity. Well, guess where Ukraine falls in terms of its behavior in that last five or ten? I mean, it is at the bottom of the barrel. If the president is skeptical of foreign aid in general, he ought to be triply skeptical of foreign aid going to Ukraine because it has a long, consistent history of gross corruption. Do you notice there hasn't even been an acknowledgement of that? I mean, doesn't that put the whole thing in context? Of course it does. I'm reading this book, Silent Empires. And as I said, I'm going to have the author on as a guest, and I'm going to bring you some of the specific information. In fact, I may even do it some of this program, quote you some of the stuff that's in this book. But folks, he points out in this book, it is extremely well-researched, he points out in this book that the people the Bidens were involved in with Burisma are straight-up gangsters who built their empire. One guy in particular, he has a Russian name, I'll have to go back and practice pronouncing it because it's one of those, you know, rather challenging Russian names. But he said basically he built his empire at the point of a gun. I mean, he would say, I want this company. And it wasn't about, here's the price. It was about, here's my gun. You know, it's the famous scene, I think it was in Godfather. Either your brains or your signature is going to be on this contract. Yeah, that's who Hunter Biden was involved with at Burisma. And there's more. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Here's one of the great contradictions in our world today. Our economy is healthy and growing. Our social fabric is weak and tearing apart. Rich Lowry in his column suggests two ways to measure our social vitality, births and deaths. Both the fertility rate and life expectancy are declining. That is a certain sign that Americans feel less secure and have little hope. Our society is characterized by less procreation and more self-destruction. Let's first look at births. The fertility rate in 2018 dropped for the fourth straight year. Sure, the U.S. is doing better than other advanced countries. In previous commentaries, I've talked about a demographic winter sweeping through Europe. But when a country starts having fewer births, it tells you something about its view of the future. We not only have fewer births, but increasing deaths. One study from the Journal of the American Medical Association reports the decline of life expectancy in this country since 2014. By the way, the decline is not hitting older Americans, but actually affecting young people in the prime of their lives. Drug overdoses are a major reason for the decline. Midlife mortality from drug overdoses has increased almost 400% over the past 20 years. Here's an arresting statistic. In 2017, an astonishing 150,000 Americans died from drug or alcohol abuse and suicide, more than the U.S. combat deaths in World War I, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War combined. A declining fertility rate and declining life expectancy illustrate the hopelessness of a secular society focused on self and ignoring God. It also shows the desperate need for a spiritual revival. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Enjoy today's Bible Minute with Brian Clark.
Hebrews 12 paints the picture of an arena where those faithful who have gone before now watch and cheer for you as you run your race of faith. That's a staggering thought. Imagine Moses and Abraham, Peter and John and Paul, all sitting in the bleachers of heaven, interceding for you, cheering you on. Imagine a spiritual mentor who has died and is now in the presence of Jesus. Imagine that person watching and interceding for you. Then remember Paul's words. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Remember, you're nearing the finish line. Your teammates are cheering you on, so run with endurance.
For more encouragement from God's Word, visit backtothebible.org. That's backtothebible.org.
Brian Fisher here. The Navy names a ship after a homosexual pedophile. The FISA court orders the FBI to clean up its act after its Trump debacle. A Ukrainian oligarch pays big money to a Democrat whose husband is on the Judiciary Committee. A Democrat wants to impeach Trump for his sense of humor. And drinking Diet Coke may cause you to gain weight. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Yeah, we're back, folks. This issue of the president asking about corruption in Ukraine, again, the more research I do, the more I read about this, and I don't know why this is not being brought out. Republicans need to bring this out, but they were involved with a company that was just absolutely disgustingly corrupt. And they were making a lot of money. By the way, the guy's name that I was trying to think of is, his last name at least, is Kolomoisky. I'll get the first name. Ihor Kolomoisky. And he was one of the oligarchs who was involved with Burisma. And this guy built his empire. And in fact, I'll quote, it just says, he built his multi-billion dollar empire by raiding other companies, a violent form of mergers and acquisitions involving guns. That's how Kolomoisky built his empire, and he was deeply involved with Burisma. Now, let me add one other thing to just demonstrate the president did something good here when he asked about corruption. We gave $1.8 billion in loan guarantees to Ukraine. We, meaning the American government, did $1.8 billion in loan guarantees during the Obama administration. Which, you know what that means. That means they are able to go out then and borrow money, and America says, we back that money. If it's lost, we will pay it. So it's on the American taxpayer. So Kolomoisky and his colleagues went out and they borrowed money from a variety of banks in Ukraine. And yes, just as you're probably about to guess, the money disappeared. The money disappeared, folks. It has not been seen or heard from since. Now, I don't know legally where we are, but a loan guarantee means that America's on the hook for that money. It just disappeared. Okay, $1.8 billion. And there have been all kinds of investigations. And one of the things that Vice President Biden wanted to stop was an investigation into how Burisma had handled this money. He didn't want that investigation to go forward. And folks, I can see now why liberals are squealing like hit dogs. Because you're getting dangerously close to the little corrupt games that they're playing to enrich themselves while they're constantly pointing the finger at others as having too much money and this, that, and the other. And yet, you all know, the left is so well-financed that conservatives, at this point at least, aren't even beginning to compete. At this point, aren't even beginning to compete financially. Well, now we know why. Because they've got money coming from everywhere. As a result of corruption. I mean, at least based on this, and they don't want this to be investigated. They don't want this to be looked into. But folks, this stuff is really deep. And I'll tell you something. God bless President Trump. If I were president right now, I'd be doing exactly what he's doing. You know what? He needs to look into the Biden's involvement in China, because we got the same, a similar situation. Apparently, they were involved in a deal with some Indian tribes down in Texas, in which the Indian tribes lost all their money. In fact, one of his partners, Devin Archer, went to jail for engaging in fraudulent financial activity. Somehow Hunter Biden has avoided that, even though he's had all kinds of problems, as you all know, with drugs and alcohol and so forth. So folks, the more I learn about this, the more committed I become to this idea. He did something wrong. He did something right. Because right now, America is on the hook for $1.8 billion of our foreign aid that disappeared, or foreign loan guarantees, that disappeared in Ukraine. And you mean to tell me they're impeaching the president? They ought to be thanking him. They ought to be sending him bouquets. But of course, they can't and won't, because they're crooks. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them are just straight up crooks. I mean, look, does anybody doubt that the Clintons are crooks? I mean, the Clintons are crooks, folks. I mean, they're not going out robbing a bank at the point of a gun. But I tell you what, they're getting the job done. So, I mean, this is just... And when I listen to this load of garbage being dumped in the middle of the House of Representatives about the president as a tyrant and a despot, and he's destroying our Constitution, he's destroying civilization, he's destroying the planet, you just want to pull your head out. Your hair out, you want to reach into the television and grab somebody by the neck and just shake them a couple times. You know, forgive me for the violent image, folks, but you know, you want to pull your hair out or reach through the television. I mean, you just, oh boy, and they keep repeating the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. About this conversation, and I've read the transcript of the conversation. I've listened to the explanations. I've listened to their characterizations. I've done some research on the background of Ukraine and Burisma, and I'm realizing more and more that this president ought to be commended for what he did. He ought to be commended for that conversation, Because look, when this money's disappearing in Ukraine and you've got Americans who are over there trafficking and trading in influence, you can rest assured some of that money is disappearing into their hands. Rest assured. And so, of course, if I were president of the United States, I would want to know if an American, I don't care who he is or what he's doing, if an American is benefiting financially by robbing American taxpayers, going through the vehicle, the hidden vehicle of some foreign country to do so. I'd want to know that. And based on everything I now know, that is exactly what the Bidens have been doing. That's exactly what his son has been doing. And you can't tell me that this is not a kind of a wink and a nod from the former vice president in watching his son play these games. I think I mentioned to you all that John Kerry's stepson was a Hines kid. He was involved in it as well. And I said one of their partners, Devin Archer, went to jail for some of his shenanigans. And this company that they formed, folks, you know what? If this prosecutor is really doing due diligence, I think you're going to end up maybe with Hunter Biden going to jail, because I think Hunter Biden's been involved in some very, very shady stuff. Some very shady stuff. Okay, I'm not prejudging it, but I'm just saying based on what I know now, he could. Okay, he could, because this stuff is serious. I think the only issue is they've had such political cover. You know, the Obama attorney general wasn't going to look at this. You know that. But if this attorney general and this U.S. attorney who was investigating these FISA warrants and the FBI behavior, if he ends up, or somebody who is just dedicated to just getting to the truth ends up investigating this stuff, I think these folks are in big trouble. Now, here again, that's a big if it's properly investigated. I think they are in big trouble, folks, because I didn't say 1.8 million. That's still a lot of money. $1.8 billion of taxpayer money disappeared surrounding the company Burisma that Hunter Biden was involved in. And so you don't hear that stuff being brought out. But folks, this stuff is real. Okay, the number is 888-589-8840. I'd be happy to take your questions. I said there was one other thing that I really want to mention in regard to this. And I'm not going to do it before the break because I can't finish the story before the break. And I wouldn't want to have the story fall flat because I get halfway into it and then I have to stop. So I'm going to start it after the break and explain to you all. I'm going to be very transparent about my own failing and use it to illustrate what is going on here in the United States Congress with regard to this whole impeachment debacle. I can say this, though, before I get to the break. It is my earnest prayer that the American people seeing this will rise up like a gigantic political tsunami and sweep this bunch of ne'er-do-wells, this bunch of demagogues, this bunch of evil, demonic individuals who would rather destroy and divide the country than do what is right and be fair and decent and honorable. And acknowledge that just because they don't agree with the president doesn't mean that they have a right to try to get rid of him. If they would just do that. But you know what? They won't. So the American people are going to have to sweep them out of office and get people in there who will do what is right. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. The words of our Lord. Anthony Pino, age 9, came running into his home one afternoon, shouting to his mother that his 3 older brothers had fallen into a pond and needed help. It happened when one of the brothers, Reuben, jumped on a plank floating in the pond north of Walsenburg, Colorado, and paddled away from the shore. He lost balance and fell into the pond. Reuben, who was 12, called for help. 2 other brothers, Freddie, 13, and Richard, 10, both went into the pond to save Reuben. Since none of the boys could swim, Anthony ran home to get help. Mrs. Fred Pino picked up the phone to call for help. 2 people were talking on the party line. Miss Pino explained the situation to them and asked them to please hang up so that she could call for help for her boys. The other 2 people refused to hang up. They laughed and ridiculed Miss Pino. She begged them to please get off the line, that her boys were drowning. They refused to do so, continued to laugh and ridicule. Another lady in the home with Miss Pino took the receiver, spoke to the other 2 people, told them again what had happened, and asked them to please let Mrs. Pino make the phone call for help. She too was met with a similar answer. You know, reading such a story, one wonders how any 2 people could be so cruel and heartless. A mother pleading for only the use of a phone for a few moments in order to call for help for her drowning sons was laughed at, ridiculed, refused. The story isn't new. As much as we talk about the goodness of man, there remains always the evilness and sinfulness of man. Our Heavenly Father knows something about this type of sinfulness. While He was pleading and begging people to listen, they were intent on carrying His Son to the crucifixion site. While He attempted to be heard, they laughed and ridiculed Him. Just common courtesy would have dictated that one should share a party line with one's neighbor. And certainly, knowing of one in Ms. Pino's situation, common courtesy would have said to be of all the help you can. But then not everyone cares about common courtesy. There's still selfishness and hatefulness and sinfulness in the world. For thousands of years, our Father's been trying to get us, all of us, to treat each other like our brothers. And for an equal number of years, we've been refusing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Stupid, silly, out of date, childish. Some people evidently think so. At least they don't think it applies to them. I wish those people could speak with Freddie or Reuben or Richard. Unfortunately, they cannot. They'll have to speak with Mrs. Pino. You see, Freddie, Reuben, and Richard are all dead. They drowned. Do unto others. Think about it the next time your brother is in need. And if you fail to act on it for your own sake, ask for forgiveness.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
All right, the number is 888-589-8840. I'm going to try to get some of your calls in during this segment. So look, one other thing before I get to this little bit of transparency to make a point. I'm going to tell you a story about myself to make a point about what I think is going on in Congress. But just before I get there, you know the other thing that I really want that just really tears at me? These leftists, for the last several years, oh my goodness, longer than that, have done nothing but excoriate and scandalize the founding fathers. They were a bunch of white men. They were a bunch of racists. They were just a bunch of power hungry, greedy. Nothing. I've heard nothing admirable about the founding fathers come out of their mouths. I've heard a lot of negative stuff come out. Oh yeah, plenty of negative stuff. Thomas Jefferson was a slaveholder, and they all owned slaves, and oh yeah, I mean I've heard all of that. All of a sudden, the left has somehow discovered their admiration for the founding fathers. All of a sudden, they're quoting them, and oh, how, you know, that they said this. I mean, they're quoting the Declaration of Independence. Really? We've been hearing that this sort of religious devotion to the Constitution. Now all of a sudden, oh man, they're constitutionalists now. Oh, we must uphold the Constitution. I've never heard them talk like this before. In fact, I've heard them criticize conservatives for hiding behind the Constitution. We don't really understand the Constitution is an antiquated document. You can't apply the certain things of the Constitution to today when they were written 243 years. I mean, I've heard all of that. Now, all of a sudden, you know, it's really kind of funny. It just goes to show, though, these folks have no filter on their hypocrisy. They just don't. They just don't. They will say anything, do anything, change up anything they've ever said before in order to get the result they're looking for. They are absolutely and completely politically expedient. I could use harsher language than that, but I won't. They are absolutely, completely politically expedient. They are, frankly, for sale to the highest power bidder. Whoever can help them get and keep power, whoever can help them further their own political ends, they are happy to serve. And in this case, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Nancy Pelosi, even the 31 congressional representatives who won in districts that President Trump won in 2016, most of them are going to go along with this because they think ultimately this will feather their nests. Ultimately, this will be, they'll get rewarded by Queen Nancy. But you know, this quoting of the Founding Fathers, I just thought, you know, it just makes you nauseous. It really does. It really does, because, you know, these people don't mean a word of that. That's as bad as Nancy Pelosi talking about she prays for President Trump. When I hear them speaking admiringly of the Founding Fathers, quoting Alexander Hamilton, quoting the Federalist Papers, I get the same feeling that I got when I heard Nancy Pelosi say, I pray for President Trump. I thought, right. Yeah, I'm sure you do. Right. I think one of you might have called and said, yeah, well, who's she praying to? Yeah, that's a good question. Certainly not the God of the Bible. Certainly not the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Certainly not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No. So that was one thing. Okay, real quick, and then I'll come to the lines. 888-589-8840. Years ago, while President Trump was in office, okay, I came across a picture of him. And he was surrounded by a bunch of guys. All of them happened to be black. They were in dark suits, and they had bow ties on. And when I saw that picture, I immediately recognized what it was, what it had to be. He was surrounded by members of the Nation of Islam. I knew that he knew Farrakhan because he had been to the Million Man March. The Million Man March, by the way, I refused to attend. I was on C-SPAN during the Million Man March, criticizing it and saying no decent person, certainly no Christian, ought to be following Louis Farrakhan across the street, let alone to Washington, D.C. Oh, and I got some of the nastiest hate mail I've ever gotten for that one. But nevertheless, I refused to go. I made it a public point that I would not go and would not support it and would not cooperate with it in any way. But Obama has bragged about having helped organize to go there. So I knew he knew Farrakhan. I mean, come on. The picture that came out after his election just goes to show here again the depths of deception and subterfuge of the left, because they hid that picture for 8 years. You know, him, big smile, great big old smile on his face with Louis Farrakhan, because Louis Farrakhan really represents the way Obama thinks. I mean, he may not agree with all his little religious weird ideas, but I think Obama pretty much agrees with the way Farrakhan thinks about matters of race, because so did Jeremiah Wright, under whom he sat for 20 years. So I saw this picture. I said, well, there it is. He's surrounded by the Nation of Islam. And I didn't, you know, go public with it because I just discovered it. But I told a couple of staff people, I said, look at this. Look at this. The Nation of Islam. Well, as it turned out, he was not surrounded by members of the Nation of Islam. You know who they were? He had posed for a picture, but you couldn't tell it was the White House. He had posed for a picture with butlers in the White House. Now, I don't know whether there are butlers in the White House who aren't black, but all of these butlers were black. And they were all wearing bow ties, and they all reminded me of the Nation of Islam. So when I found out that I'd made a mistake, of course, you know what I did? I apologized to people I said it to and said, you know, I was wrong about that. No, that's not what that was. And folks, I say that to you to be transparent, because even though part of the reason I jumped to that conclusion was I didn't like President Obama, I didn't like his policies, didn't like what he stood for. And it was easy, and also there was some evidence to suggest that I might be right about that. So it was easy for me to jump to that conclusion. But when I found out that that did not comport with the facts, I apologized to those whom I said that to, and I reversed my view to comport with the facts. Now, folks, here's what this is in this impeachment deal. These people hate President Trump. I never hated President Obama, but they hate President Trump. And they are willing to twist anything they can find into some sort of nefarious, evil, wicked plot by him. And in this case, they've twisted a conversation that's normal by every standard, as far as I'm concerned, even the Republicans who say, well, you know, what he did was wrong. I don't see that he did anything wrong. I don't know what was in the man's heart. They want to read what was in his heart. I know what he said, and I don't see that he said anything wrong. The only difference, though, between them and me is when I found out that my facts were wrong, that what I thought was true was not true, I reversed myself, even though it meant that my impression about someone with whom I had profound disagreement was wrong. I was willing to own up to that, admit that, and move on. These folks don't have any such compunction. See, those of us who really believe that the standard of truth is what we ought to all adhere to are always at a disadvantage when we're dealing with people who will lie about anything, anytime, about anybody, under any circumstances, in order to further their own agenda. And that's what we're dealing with in the United States Congress, a bunch of people who are willing to tell the biggest, boldest, most contemptible lie they can come up with in order to further their own incessant hunger for power. I didn't get it done, did I? Well, when I come back, I will. When I come back, it's going to be all you, okay? 888-589-8840.
Hospitality is a laying down of your life. It's a sacrifice so that the hand of the stranger can be put into the hand of the Savior. It's bridge work.
When you invite others into your home, it's not about your gift of hospitality. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Dr. Rosaria Butterfield offers her perspective.
The last thing you want is somebody to ask you for a recipe at the end of the night. You want them to ask you if they could have some follow-up time to pray about something that we just talked about. So giftedness is a bereft concept. It leads to this false idea that you are going to, through your giftedness, disciple people into the kingdom of God. God forbid. Real converts happen because God steps in and changes your heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh.
More about hospitality at familyminute.org.
Oh, Lord, please let me make it. Please, Lord. Come on, come on.
Okay, stay American Family Association.
Man.
Or American Family Radio.
I missed the show again.
Can't find the time to catch the live shows? No worries.
Wait, what?
You can listen and download all your favorite shows for free.
For free?
That's right, for free. Just visit the podcast page on AFR.net.
Woo, Lord.
AFR.net.
The broadcast ministry American Family Radio provides Christian teaching and commentary 365 days a year on over 180 radio stations. This is Walker Wildman, Vice President of Operations for American Family Association. By supporting AFA, you are supporting our broadcast ministry and helping to keep Christians informed across America. Please consider a tax-deductible gift to AFA as 2019 draws to a close. Thank you and Merry Christmas.
More online at AFR.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
All right, 888-589-8840. Believe it or not, on my television in front of me right now is Sheila Jackson Lee waving a copy of the Constitution. She's probably never waved a copy of the Constitution before in her life. And remember, you know, somebody ought to say, yeah, you mean the same document that says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed? Oh, that Constitution, that one? Okay, let's go to your calls, folks. Thanks for your patience. Let's go to Luke in Virginia. Luke, welcome.
Hey, how are you, Bishop?
I'm doing great, Luke. How are you?
Very good. I'm in Richmond, Virginia, and I love your show. It's very good, very informative. But, you know, whole thing seems to me like there's a central location, a central think tank, and I honestly believe that Obama, Clinton's, Soros people are personally involved strategizing, planning all of this out, how they can subvert and undermine this whole thing. And that's one of the reasons why everybody starts using the same words across all of the news networks. First it's collusion, then it's bribery, then it's abuse of power, then it's contempt. Organized effort to destroy this nation. Obviously, we're doing the best thing that we can by praying fervently day in and day out. But this is a serious war, and this is a spiritual battle. This is horrible.
Luke, look, you're absolutely right. We have to be praying fervently. I think we've got to speak up as well. I know it upsets people when they hear us do it, but I think we've just got to be that much more forceful. When I've heard people say, well, you know, the president is a racist. And one of the congressmen said he needs to be impeached because he's a racist. And I said, well, okay, what has he done that's racist? And crickets, as my son likes to say, you get nothing. Because you've got to confront the lies. We've got to confront the lies. And look, I believe this with all my heart. People like these elitists in Congress right now, they are dedicated to lies. I'm serious. I mean that, dedicated to lies. But you know what? I believe there are a lot of people out there who really do want the truth. And if they're hearing a bunch of lies, they may think, okay, well, I guess that's reality. But when they begin to hear the truth, they go, oh, wait a minute. Whoa. Okay. I didn't know that. And they awaken. And so we've got to keep waking people up with the truth. So thanks for the call, Luke. But I agree with you. Soros and Obama and Eric Holder and a bunch of billionaires on the left are all working very, very hard to undermine this as a constitutional republic. And they're going to stand on this floor of the House and wave the Constitution? Oh, my goodness. Let's go to Reginald in Georgia. Reginald, welcome. Reginald, you're on. Reginald, are you there? Okay, did I lose Reginald? Well, I'll try to come back to Reginald. Let's go to Fran in Ohio. Fran, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was on.
You're on.
You know what? The one thing I was wondering, and I totally agree with what that Luke said before, but why can't the American people file a lawsuit against Congress or at least against the people that are having the charades go on and say, okay, you go on with that charade. And when we can prove that it's all a charade and nothing is brought to the surface, which there won't be because there's nothing, that you guys foot the bill instead of the American people. Why you go on and it's easy to use someone else's money to put on your show. You foot the bill.
Well, Fran, let me just say this to you. You have really stumbled up on something because I've had some serious discussions with some people and some lawyers about the possibility of suing Congress for subverting the votes of the American people, overthrowing those votes, or curtailing the voting rights of the American people, some theory like that. I'll tell you, it's a hard one because, of course, Congress is under immunity, that they are not liable for anything that's said on the floor of Congress. They have congressional immunity. And so it would be very, very hard to get at them that way. And, of course, then you have the whole issue of, well, they're engaged in a constitutionally provided procedure. So it does get complicated. But I'll tell you something, Fran. I'm thinking the same way you're thinking. They are subverting this nation, hurting this nation, and there ought to be a way within the law to make them pay. And so you keep praying and thinking about that, and I will too. And I've got some other people praying and thinking about it because I think you're onto something there. Okay, let's go to Hans in Kansas. Hans, welcome. Well, did I have that right, or is it Hans?
Yeah, that's okay. Hans and the Bringer, yeah. You got it.
Okay.
Hey, Bishop, thank you. I've been with you for years, buddy. Thank you, okay?
Thank you, Hans. All right. Thank you.
Let's look at the seriousness of this. You know, when this reporter looked at Nancy, you could just see all the demons around her. What do you mean I hate Trump? I was raised a Catholic all my life, and I've been taught how to pray for people. But I like the way you said it. Which God was that one? Do you remember, sir, when they had a three vote? Hey, how many people want to kick God out of the house? Let's hear it. Yay. Let's go. Oh, yep. I wasn't quite sure. Let's do it again. We need to kick God out of the house. And they did it again. And finally they won. God got kicked out of the house. Now, we're in the history of the United States. Would anybody want to kick God anywhere? So we can see how demonic this really is.
It really is, Hans. Look, they even, I'm sure you've heard this, but they even tried to argue that the flag and July 4th are Republican symbols and that the Pledge of Allegiance is a Republican thing. They're trying to marginalize all of the symbols that unify us in this country, divide and conquer. So you're right. This is a spiritual battle without any question whatsoever. And, of course, we've got to fight it on all those levels. We've got to fight the good fight of faith and prayer and just believe in God. And then we've got to fight politically. We've got to register. We've got to get out and vote. And then we've got to be active in our communities and standing up and speaking up for the things that are right. In fact, for those of you in Virginia, I'm going to be at Suffolk City Hall tonight at a rally for the Second Amendment that starts, I think, at 6 o'clock. I'm going to be speaking there about 6:45. Because every time I have a chance, I've got someplace else to go afterwards, but every time I have a chance to speak up for our Constitution, First, Second Amendment, our Bill of Rights, our way of life, I'm going to do it because I just think every single one of us has to do that every chance we get and trust. As George Washington said, all we can do is hold up a standard to which good and honest people can repair. The rest is in the hands of God. Thanks for the call, Hans. We appreciate that. Let's go to Christian in Texas. Christian, welcome. Christian, you're on.
Bishop.
Hey, Christian.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, Bishop. I just want to let your audience know that America needs to stand up and really push back, because this is forces of darkness that has really infiltrated into American soil. And it's like, to me, the Democrats, they ate the forbidden fruit, and it's really getting on them, and they want everybody else to eat the same fruit, just like Adam and Eve ate the fruit, and now they are paying the consequences, and now they want all of us to pay the consequences, and we refuse. So if America does not stand up and push back, they will stand to regret this very time. They will regret, because once it's gone forever.
Christian, thank you for the call. You're absolutely right. You know, one of my friends is Reverend Rafael Cruz. Reverend Rafael Cruz is the father of Senator Ted Cruz. He escaped from communist Cuba, escaped, because that's the way you got out. You got out because you escaped, even though, by the way, folks, here again, I just read an article a couple days ago said that communist Cuba is sending out infiltrators, legal immigrants, to our country for the purpose of subverting our culture. That whole Gramsci strategy that I've talked about, that Raul Castro is engaged in that right now, and communist China is engaged in it right now too. So these folks, they are what Stalin used to call useful idiots. Some of them don't know. Some of them do know, but some of them just don't know. They're just being used, and they don't have the sense God gave a gnat, and so they're allowing themselves to be used. So thanks, Christian. Let's go to Juanita in Arkansas. Juanita, welcome. Juanita, you there?
Yes, sir. Bishop Jackson, this is the first time I've ever called anybody on any radio station, but I've just got started listening to you as I go places in my car. I love your program. I love that you bring out the facts about things. And I am in Arkansas, where the Clintons came from. They are the most undescribably elite, idiotic thieves I have ever seen in my life, besides which being killers. Everybody ever been around them has gotten killed if you know anything on them. So
I've heard that.
That's the truth. And I've seen things with my own eyes that I can't even tell you about, okay? because I was young once and ran around and did things I shouldn't do like everybody else. But I do know things on these two people, but I'm not going to say it out loud so I can end up being the next suicide with two shots to the back of my head. And they have ruined this state for the Democratic Party, as far as I'm concerned, because anybody in Arkansas who could vote for a Democrat anymore has got to be crazy. Completely, totally nuts.
All right, Juanita, we got it. Wow. Folks, you know, I wish I could get another call in. So those of you who I didn't get to, please call in again tomorrow. That's going to do it for us today. Very, very interesting comments, by the way. And I really do appreciate the contribution that you all make. So thank you for the comments and compliments on the program. We're going to keep trying to bring you the very best information that we can. So look, folks, just keep standing up, keep praying, keep fighting, fight the good fight of faith. And remember that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we really are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.